Our last speaker before the break will be Michael Gale, speaking about common medical and surgical illnesses in Togo.
Hello again. As you know, they put this microphone on me. They say I roamed too much and my voice was fading, so I apologize if this morning you didn't hear everything I had to say. You might have been blessed by that. I don't know. This morning was a scientific presentation. This afternoon is a missionary's passion. Just want to tell you about the common medical and surgical illnesses in Togo, where I've been for the last 13 years as medical director. Our goals will be just an overview of the medical and surgical illnesses at an established missionary hospital in Togo. We've been there 32 years. The facilities, the staffing, commonly seen diagnoses at the clinic and hospital, diagnostic and treatment challenges in a resource-limited setting, and keeping the focus on what is important and why we are there as we care for these who come to our front door. HBB, the reason we exist is to glorify God by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in Togo through medical evangelism, discipleship, and strengthening local churches. Our hospital was built 32 years ago. Bob Cropsey was one of the initial people. And we built the hospital, yes, to meet the medical and surgical needs, but more importantly, to gain the trust of the patients that came so that we could share with them the best medicine of all, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without that, the hospital would never have been built. Without that, it would have just been another Doctors Without Borders type hospital where you meet the medical and surgical needs, but what have you done for their eternal life? Again, just compassion is what we, just compassionate care. Description of our HBB services. Again, we're a 50-bed acute care hospital that takes care of almost anything that comes in. Surgery, medicine, pediatrics, OBGYN. We have a 4-bed ICU, if you can really call it that. We finally got some monitors in there. We have a chronic ward that takes care of long-term orthopedic and wound care cases. Outpatient clinic sees about 13,000 new and old visits a year. We have evangelical mobile medical clinics, which I am passionate about, and then the community health evangelism as well. HBB does not take care of chronic illnesses. The Lord has made our hospital a referral hospital. We get patients from not only most of Togo, but Ghana, Burkina Faso, and Benin, even Nigeria. And however, we do diagnose and take care of chronic illnesses when they become acute or with a diagnosis. Personnel and staffing is always a struggle. We have one career general surgeon at this point, one career pediatrician, one career family medicine, that's me, and one career family nurse practitioner. We do have the assistance from Samaritan's Purse World Medical Mission. Without them, we could not survive. So again, Samaritan's Purse World Medical Mission, we praise God for you. Post-residency program, with which we really would be either forced to cut back, which we sometimes still have to do, such as we only have one career surgeon now, or even sometimes shut down when we don't have OB coverage or whatever. Obstetrics was shut down for the last half of 2015 due to the lack of doctor coverage to oversee, and that reflects somewhat in the statistics I'm going to give you for that year. And except for missionary doctors listed above, the hospital is staffed by Togolese, including 4 physician assistants, 30 nurses, and 19 nurses aides. We do have ancillary departments, laboratory capability of performing hematology, limited chemistries, parasitology, urine analysis, rapid tests for HIV and malaria, and testing for hepatitis B and C, and we do our own blood banking there. Radiology, ultrasound. For me, the ultrasound machine is the most blessed machine and diagnostic test we have there at the hospital. I know there will be some people that think differently, but people that are there all the time, I think, would agree with that. We do have a pharmacy, sterilization, and we have the capability of making our own IV solutions. We have 4 chaplains, which we wish we had about 14. And the note is that all departments are resource limited, which you've heard from various people from various missionary hospitals around the world. Pharmacy, we do have limited medicines and pharmaceutical categories due to cost and availability. There's a lack of newer broad-spectrum antibiotics, with a lack of more up-to-date antihypertensives and cardiac medicines. People like to bring prescription bottles of medicines that they get from their patients when they come over to us, but really is not very useful because the newer medicines we can't get in Togo, so there's no sense in treating somebody for 1 month and then having to stop it. And then basic chemotherapeutic medicines are very, very difficult to get. A hospital budget, approximately $1 million a year for a 50-bed acute care hospital. Put that relative. When I stepped out of medical practice after 20 years in West Virginia, we had three family physicians. We had a physician assistant and at that point, we had a $1 million budget for our office. So just goes to show you how little we deal with on our budget in Africa. Patient payments pay for approximately 65% of the budget. The remainder is made up from donations of money and medical equipment supplies. Want to point out, no emergency cases are ever turned away due to lack of funds, which is unlike the government hospitals there in Togo. Missionary doctors are faith-based and receive no compensation from the hospital. In fact, part of our support that we raise on a monthly basis, $800 goes to the hospital every month. Just some graphics, clinical consultations, as you can see, most of them obviously are a medical. The most common reasons for clinical consultations, you can sort of read them yourself, but they're in French. Abdominal pain, cardiovascular disease, arthritis, malaria, parasitic disease of the gut, trauma, that type thing. Hospitalizations, again, we had most of them, it's sort of a split between pediatric and medicine, as well as surgery. 10 top reasons for hospitalizations, trauma. We have a lot of trauma there around our hospital. We have little motos that people drive or really can't drive, but they do drive them. And there's a lot of trauma there. Second most common is for malaria, basically with kids less than 5 years of age. Abdominal pain, such as typhoid fever, and we have complications of a perforation there. And then anemia, and then we have strokes, hypertension, that type thing. In fact, other diseases seen at our hospital, some of it is just the type of things you might see back home, but certainly you might see meningitis, we see TB, we still see neonatal and adult tetanus, particularly babies that are born in the village and they use an unclean knife to cut the cord. We do see occasional rabies, for which we cannot do anything. Malnutrition, mostly pediatric, but not a whole lot of that. Snake bites, green mambas and vipers. We do have antivenom available, though. And toxic herbs are one of the worst things. People buy herbs on the side of the road. There's no rhyme or reason how they get the herbs. They just pick them, stuff them into a plastic bag, and sell them. And they have one bag is for headache, one bag is for sore throat, and they're all the same medicine. They just keep selling them. They come to the hospital, and they get liver and renal dysfunction and failure from them. They die from it. That has to be corrected. Right now, the government does not do a whole lot with that. Typhoid fever with complications, perforation, I already said that. And then your general hypertension, strokes, diabetes. CHF is usually secondary to hypertension, not from atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. ASCVD is almost non-existent except in expats. And again, Lassa fever now in northern Togo with the potential of presence of Ebola and other viral hemorrhagic fevers, as I mentioned this morning. Top 10 x-ray exams, and we do have a regular x-ray. We do have a portable x-ray machine when it works. Chest x-ray, back x-rays, abdominal x-rays, then the tibia and skull x-rays, that type thing. Top 10 ultrasound exams, abdominal, pelvic, OBGYN, and then down the course. Top 10 laboratory tests, glucose, NFS stent is the same thing as CBC, and then you have hematocrit, HIV testing, urine tests, and also down this, you see TDR, that's a rapid test for malaria. Deaths per service. We have about 150 to 170 deaths per year at our hospital, as I mentioned last night. Sounds like a lot, but people that come to our hospital come there after they have already gone to see the traditionalists, after they've already gone to see the witch doctor in town, for which he's probably the richest man in town. And then they come here with still very, very sick and no money. But again, we do not turn away anybody that is acutely ill, whether they have money or not. Most of these deaths occur within the first 24 hours because they come so late and so sick. The top three, I learned French in Quebec. So I learned that the top three sports in Quebec, Canada are hockey, hockey, and hockey. When I went to Africa, I learned that the top three sports are soccer, soccer, and soccer. When at HBB Hospital in Togo, I learned that the top three diagnoses are malaria, and malaria with complications. And it's so true. If you learn how to take care of, I've always told students and residents when they come, if you can take care of malaria and its complications, which include seizures and a lot of different things, you can take care of almost any patient from a general medical care. Malaria, what we have is Plasmodium, especially dangerous and life-threatening to the pediatric age group. You can have severe anemia with hematocrit, not hemoglobin. Hematocrit is low as 3 or 4. Cerebral malaria, including seizures and coma, respiratory distress, and then renal insufficiency and failure. Hospital treatment for malaria, again, you give IV fluids, you give them cautiously, depending on not only how dehydrated they are, but also how anemic. If they're very, very anemic, you be careful with how fast you push fluids. And then again, the blood transfusions. We use IV diazepam and phenobarbital for seizure activity. IV artesanate, which is actually a Chinese herb, especially for severe malaria and pregnancies. They have IM artemether and IV quinine, which we use for a lot of the adults. If somebody comes in really anemic, we will, instead of giving them quinine, and they're very anemic, we'll give them a shot of artemether and give them a transfusion and then start the quinine later, because that allows us to get their hemoglobin up. And then oral combination, which is called Coartem. It's a combination of artemether and lumefantrine. Patients are usually discharged on this medicine if they come into the hospital, although some, particularly pediatrics, if we use quinine when they come in, we send them home on quinine. And Coartem is also used as a first-line treatment for outpatient malaria. Interesting long-term sequelae, talking about children less than 5 years of age with severe malaria, hemoglobin less than 5, and or cerebral malaria, coma with positive malaria tests, that had no evidence of any neurological signs at that point other than the coma. They actually have behavioral problems, attention problems, aggressiveness, significantly higher at 12 and 24 months. So it's just something to keep in mind. When you treat them aggressively. Again, there's imported cases of malaria from endemic countries, mainly West Africa. When it comes, 4,000 cases per year worldwide, 1,700 cases in the U.S., most of which are imported. That's why it's important for you as physicians, when somebody comes back from the field, whether short-term or whatever, and they have fever, think malaria. Just like when we're overseas now, when somebody comes in to the hospital now with fever and this and that, and maybe some hemorrhagic, we think of viral hemorrhagic fevers. You got to just think about it, keep it in your mind. And we at Togo, we actually send our short-termers home with a course of Coartem. And we told them that if you get to the point that you are having fever within the first 7 to 14 days and you just feel like a truck ran over you, take the Coartem first. Do not go to the doctor and tell them that you went overseas, because they will then do a diagnostic workup that will cost you probably $5,000 or more. That's the malaria distribution. A lot of it, obviously, you can see in sub-Saharan African. Abdominal parasites, worms in general, people even that come for pre-employment physical, as healthy as can be, you do a stool test and they got two or three different parasites in their stool. They learn to live with it, but it can cause problems. Generally asymptomatic, but can cause severe abdominal pain. Treatment, again, depends on what it is. Amoeba, we give IV and PO metronidazole or tinidazole, and down the course there. Schisto, we have quite a bit of, and you treat that with praziquantel. Tetanus, neonatal and adult. I was here 3 years ago and talked about neonatal tetanus or even adult tetanus. And we give intrathecal equine tetanus immune globulin. It does not have preservatives in it. So we actually give that intrathecally when they come in. And that has changed our mortality rate with tetanus. Is shrunk from 85% to 15%. Sub-Q TIG for 3 days. Antispasmodics, including diazepam and magnesium sulfate, has really been a big boon for that. IV metronidazole to eradicate the Clostridium bacteria. Pain control, because it's just like having a cramp. Those spasms are just like having a Charlie horse 24 hours a day. Nutrition, we have gotten to the point that we're starting to think about elective G-tubes, because anybody that tries to eat, or even if you try to pass a NG tube down, can start that spasmatic component, and people can die from that. And we're also even considering an elective tracheostomy, because again, anything, even if they go into laryngeal spasm, the muscle spasm, but at least if you have a trachea, you can force the air in. And then it's a long recovery period, learning to walk again. It takes months. Strokes. Take home from this, the closest CAT scan or MRI is 2.5 hours away, so we treat things the way we were trained to treat things pretty much when I was coming through medical school, and that was at the bedside with a history and physical and experience. Studies show that 85% of strokes are occlusive and 15% hemorrhagic. If there's nuchal rigidity or a stroke is progressing, we assume hemorrhagic in origin. Still not a lot we can do about it. If the neck is supple and there's no progression in 48 hours, we start aspirin. If the diagnosis is still unclear after 48 to 72 hours, we do an LP looking for ecteric CSF, seeing that it's a bleed and the red blood cells have broken down, or ruling out atypical meningitis. A key is just lowering the systolic blood pressure to less than 180. You don't want to do a whole lot. And we use either antihypertensive, whether it be IV, PO, or NG tube. And most strokes are treated with NG tubes for nutrition, if difficulty swallowing, Foley catheters, teaching the family how to take care of both the NG tube and Foley, and giving meds via the NG tube as well as feeding, and sending them home by day 3 or 4. Hypertension. Prevalence of hypertension in Togolese adults is about 40%. It's not uncommon for people to come to the outpatient clinic or mobile medical clinic for an unrelated problem and have a blood pressure 240 over 140. And unless there's severe complicating symptoms or signs being present, even the very high blood pressures are treated with oral antihypertensives, and we follow them up in a week or two. Medications are very basic. Again, we don't have the medicines you have here. We have diuretics, ACE inhibitors, calcium channel blockers, alpha antagonists, and beta blockers. Diabetes, type 2, type 1, only medicines we have for type 2 are metformin and gibenclamide, which is similar to glucotrol here. Type 2, insulin dependent, difficult to control in Togo due to the lack of refrigeration, lack of steady food supply, often less than 3 meals a day, and inability to check glucose secondary to lack of finances. Medications, we have 3 insulins, regular, NPH, and mixed. We don't have all the new ones. HIV and AIDS, laboratory tests, about 3,000 positives, about 7%. The government has HIV clinics, and we send them there. Again, we try not to get involved in that at this point. We have enough work to do with just acute care. Labor and delivery, I won't go through too much. We have, when we're fully cranked up, there's 600, 700 deliveries a year with about a 38% C-section. And a lot of that's because people come late. They try to give birth at home, can't do it, and then come to us. High-risk pregnancies, about 33%, including preeclampsia, eclampsia, chronic hypertension, diabetes, and recurrent malaria. Malaria, again, in pregnancy, very, very crucial to treat that. We try to give medicines to prevent it every month from the end of the first trimester until they deliver. People have talked about government expectations. Those are on the left, and at our hospital, C-section rate's about 38%. Mortality, maternal mortality is 0.6%, rate which is lowest in the country. For rate of low birth weight infants is about 17%, and neonatal mortality about 5%. I won't go through that. Again, our hospital exists by the grace of God, to further his kingdom around the world. We see patients, we evangelize. Those that show interest, we try to connect with one of our churches that we have that have been established in Togo. And they not only, and this is where they, you know, just basic huts, and they hear the gospel. And again, the quote here, ABWE, our mission agency, has not planted dead wooden posts, but rather living trees that give much fruit. The future, through a newly approved Vision 2020 project, we will actually be having a makeover. Again, the hospital is 32 years old. And we're going to also have a master plan that will include developing surgical through PACS and medical residencies to train Togolese and African doctors. Not only surgically and medically, but spiritually, in hopes of nationalizing the hospital. Due to the poverty of Togo, it is doubtful that HBB will become self-sufficient financially in the near future. So again, medical surgical care in a developing country is challenging and at times frustrating due to working with limited resources, but is always rewarding with the miracles that one sees, the souls that are saved, and the joy of furthering God's kingdom around the world. Diagnoses rarely seen in the States can be common overseas. Medical missions is truly an adventure, and we will come away a changed person if you do. I would like to just push the right click now. I'm going to just show you a short video about HBB and its ministry. Medical missions is an adventure. If you haven't had the privilege to be on a medical missions trip, I encourage you to take one. It will change your life. It truly will. I'm going to be around for the rest of the weekend. If you want to talk about medical missions in general or Togo in particular, we have 2 hospitals there. We'd love to talk to you. God bless you.